Does it sound familiar to you, Jeff?
Very familiar.
Yeah, that's Brass from the Past. Group that's been around Chicago, playing festival after festival, then after festival after festival. It's a good thing for you. We are a festival city. There are festivals every weekend. So you must be really busy. Why are you here then? I mean, you ought to be out there performing. Really? I'm surprised you're not at Pride or somewhere else.
Well, actually, I have been very busy. In fact, it's nice to have a day off, but
that's true.
Been averaging 4 shows a week.
Wow.
For the last couple months. So.
Yeah, that's a lot. Are they mostly outdoors or not necessarily?
Well, once we get into May, then it becomes outdoor season, maybe mid-May or so, more around Memorial Day. But, I work throughout the year, 12 months a year.
Well, I've got you on this show because you're about to make world history at Ravinia. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Ravinia is going to be the first time for us. We are performing at the Carousel Stage. But
you're a Chicago band.
We are a Chicago band.
And this is the first time ever in Ravinia's like 700-year history that on the big stage there has been, not as an opening act, but the act, a Chicago band.
That's correct. I guess we had to pay our dues. We finally earned the right to play there, and we're very excited for it.
Well, I mean, look at the performers they get. So it's quite a compliment, I would suggest. Are you nervous about it?
Not really nervous.
No, you play everywhere. How many saxophones are there, or members of the brass? I'll generalize, I'll broaden it. Like 700?
It's close. 698.
How many?
Actually, we have anywhere from 6 to 7 total instrumentalists in the section. We'll have sometimes 2 trumpet players, a trombonist, and then we have 3 sax. We have the baritone, the alto, and the tenor sax.
Aside from one being baritone, one being alto, one being tenor, if you were to close your eyes, would you be able to, or them to, could you distinguish their style? I was surprised by that. Here's what brings this up. Herb Albert was saying, what I want more than anything else is for people to hear me play and know, there are a lot of people who play what I play, the trumpet, but to know that it's Herb Albert. Chris Botti, just recently on the show, said the same thing. What do you think?
Well, I've been in a brass band for 16 years now, so I can probably discern better than I did before that. I've been performing for over 30 years, but I was never in a brass-based band until Brass from the Past. I've learned, my ear has learned a lot over the years. So I guess if you asked a trumpet player, I'm sure they would be able to easily pick out the signature sound of one of the greats.
Yeah.
For sure.
You do mostly covers, or only covers, really.
Right.
Yeah. How did the band begin? And you were there at the beginning, right?
I was there from nearly the beginning. I joined maybe a few months into its inception. So it was an interesting concept. So the band leader, John Tomasoni, he had come up with this idea, putting together a band that consisted of music students, as well as some veteran musicians who were maybe semi-retired, wanted to come back and play a bit. So it was about 50-50 in that respect. Mm-hmm. And by the time I joined the ranks, there was only one student left in the band. The rest of the teenagers had dropped out. So it was kind of an instructional band in a lot of ways. The veteran musicians were going to teach the young, teens who were just learning their instrument, the ways of performing. And so my story was that I was actually in traditional 4- and 5-piece rock and roll bands throughout my 20s. And I answered an ad. There was an ad out there that said looking for a lead vocalist to perform 2 dates. One was in June and one was in July. And I said, a horn band, that sounds really interesting because I grew up on the music of Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, bands like that. And so for me, I thought it was a great opportunity. So I went out there and auditioned, and here I am, still here.
I want to hear your three favorite songs to perform. And we're going to hear those as well as much more from Brass from the Past. That's Jeff Anthony, who is in the studio as we speak. Brass from the Past, that is the name of the band. They will be at Ravinia on July 1st, but they will be in your neighborhood, it seems, no matter where you happen to live, because they're everywhere. I've always wondered this. I've never had, the opportunity to ask any performer this question. So when you are performing at a festival, an outdoor festival, and you do, I don't know, 350 every week. So if you're at an outdoor festival and the people are drinking and they're talking and they're really not paying complete attention to you and they didn't come there for you, they may have come for the beer, they may have come for the food, they may have, like we just heard about the Great Chicago Smokeout, you know, they may have come for any number of other reasons, to meet friends. In fact, you may be annoying because they want to talk to each other, right? They don't want to hear the band. Is that difficult to play that kind of an audience as compared to on July 1st, you'll be at Ravinia? They are coming to see you, and while they're picnicking and they're doing all those things that you do at Ravinia, they're ultimately there to see you. Is there a big difference?
I mean, there is a difference in terms of the overall vibe, but even if you're playing a fest where you're also looking at people enjoying, you know, amusement games and rides and whatnot.
Yeah.
You're always going to have a certain portion of that public that's there, that is there to see you. And so you focus on them is what it comes down to. You know, we play events like the Chicago Botanical Garden. We've played that every year. And they,
you know, they do say the plants grow better with music.
That's right.
Yeah, you're responsible for that.
We're glad to be a small part of it because it's beautiful there.
It is. It is.
But they bring a huge crowd out there as well to support live music. And I think maybe 1,500 people attend that. So that's one of our upcoming events that we'll be doing again this year.
When is that?
I don't have the exact date in front of me. I know it's in August.
Their website, I assume.
It's on their website, sure.
Has there been a gig from hell that you've... I mean, you've been doing this for a long time.
Long time.
Yeah. So has there been just a really bad one? And has there been a favorite?
Wow. You know, there have been some bad gigs, but I try not to focus on those. The bad gigs usually are, you know, technical problems that every band incurs from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be in a band without having those issues. But
we were just at the United Center. Mm-hmm. I started this, so I ought to finish. I shouldn't tell this because she is a legend, right? So we saw Stephanie Mills, Patti LaBelle, Chaka Khan, and Gladys Knight. Gladys Knight is like 82 years old. She's amazing, right? A legend. No question about that. But she came out, and there were sound issues with her microphone and her volume compared to the band's. It's like, didn't you guys have a dress rehearsal? Maybe they did not have a sound check. I don't know. But nevertheless, that can happen to anyone if you play long enough, I suppose.
Definitely. You know, that's probably
She just kept going with that amazing smile that she still has.
And that's what you have to do. Yeah. You have to turn it on regardless.
Yeah.
You don't want the audience to know that you're suffering with not being able to hear yourself. I mean, for a singer or anybody in the band, really, for that matter, you know, you want to be able to hear where you're at in the mix.
Of course.
And if you can't, you know, it makes it difficult.
Understatement, I imagine. All right, so I asked you before the break, you do covers. What is your very favorite? And what song is it that, okay, the more than any other, because there's a long list for you guys, that the first six bars, the audience applauds so long you can't hear yourself sing because they recognize that song.
Hmm. Well, that's a tough question, actually.
Well, that's what I'm here for. It's
very
like
tough,
16 minutes. It's the same thing.
In 16 years, we've done a lot of songs. We've got hundreds of songs in our book.
Literally hundreds?
Hundreds.
What's number 107?
Oh,
do you know all
that.
The numbers by name?
No. No.
That would not be fair.
I've got most of them locked in my brain as far as the lyrics, thankfully. But, you know.
That's a lot of lyrics that you have to know, actually.
It is. It is. Repetition is what, you know, gets them stuck in there.
Yep.
Fortunately. So because we do so many songs, you know, and you know, my favorite songs change, you know, from year to year. And we are a band that doesn't have the same set list, you know, year after year. We do sometimes turn over these songs pretty greatly in
the season. And even from show to show?
In some cases, yeah, we might tweak it with two or three songs, and we do unique arrangements of classics. So if you are...
Name one and talk about how the arrangement is a bit different.
Well, I got one that I can bring up. So we do a song called Feeling Good, which a lot of people know from maybe 15, 20 years ago. Michael Bublé did a very famous cover of it.
Yeah.
But the song actually goes back to, I think, 1960. It was actually a part of a musical. And then Nina Simone covered it as well mm-hmm. in the 60s. So we do a very unique arrangement of it. Our band leader liked the song, but he wanted a bluesier arrangement. So he had it written specifically to what we wanted. And it takes on a different life as a result of it.
That's cool.
So instead of one of the ideas we had was making a bluesy with a guitar solo, but he said instead of taking the guitar as being the main lead instrument, make the alto saxophone the lead instrument. So that's an example of how we rearranged it.
And for you guys with all those brass instruments, that's perfect, you know. Your belief is, according to AI, because they must know everything at AI, right?
Of course they do.
Yeah, yeah. Is that you don't just cover a classic, you bring it to life. That's a good thing. That's yeah. what AI says about you. It was ChatGPT, I believe.
Well, we are all fully invested in the music in terms of our passion. There's nobody in the band that is on stage not really loving the music that we do. We cover the gamut from classic soul, funk, and blues to horn bands like Chicago and Blood, mm-hmm. Sweat, and Tears and the Doobie Brothers. And we do, like I said, unique arrangements of these songs, so it makes it interesting for people.
And a lot of rhythm and blues as well.
For
classic,
sure.
Yeah. So Burton Cummings from the Guess Who is going to be on the show next week, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that, I mean, one thing I want to ask him about that I won't, but I will, and that's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why the heck isn't he in it, you know? I mean, it's crazy. He's got one of the greatest voices, I think, ever.
Steve, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I bring up his name oftentimes
really?
When I talk about people that should be much more heralded as far as singers are concerned. Yeah, I have older brothers that introduced me to the music of the Guess Who, and I fell in love with his voice many, many years ago.
Do you do any of their covers? You could.
That's a good segue because actually we do a unique arrangement of These Eyes, which is their first hit in America.
Yeah, yeah. And you do the lead vocals on that.
I do.
That's a hard song to sing.
It is.
It is, yeah, because you have to say the words so fast, for one thing. That's a tough song to sing. Yeah. What is the toughest for you to sing?
You know, when, you know, like I mentioned during the break, you know, if you're performing a lot of shows in a row, you know, the higher pitch tunes are going to be a little bit more difficult, yeah. you know, on a given day if you've done three or four shows in a row, or sometimes we've done two in a day. So, you know, as far as specific songs, you know, one that comes to mind right now would be Working My Way Back to You. We do an arrangement that was done by the Spinners in the late 70s.
Yeah, but the Four yeah. Seasons did that.
And they
Frankie
did that original.
Valli did the original, yeah. right? And in the Frankie Valli version, I suppose that the key was very different than the Spinners, right?
Yeah,
yeah, because Frankie Valli sang all the way up here, you know,
exactly.
and he's still out there performing, more
he
or
is.
Less. Yeah. All right, July 1st at Ravinia. That's where you can see, and more importantly, hear the group we're talking about, Brass from the Past. Jeff Anthony, so nice to meet you.
Likewise. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.